And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-host, Aaron Varola.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to episode 84 of the Fanboy Garage. So glad, as always, to have you guys with us this week. There's a crap ton of stuff to talk about. I feel like I say that every week, yeah. Because it literally is a bunch of stuff. We'll sit here and we'll text each other and go, dude, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
And sure enough, by the end of the afternoon before we hit record, there is lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and then even as of 30 seconds before we hit record, we're like, oh, and by the way.
Yeah. 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 So, but before we get into any of that stuff, because there's lots to unpack, so we've got like things like the Batman and more news on some interesting departures and TV shows that are back. Before we get into all that jazz, we'll do it like we do. We'll talk about the box office.
Sure. So. There's some interesting stuff this week. So, I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog repeated at number one. Now, mm-hmm. It had a 55% drop, which is, you know, kind of steep, right? Mm-hmm. For that type of a movie. It did do another $26 million. So it's over 100. It's $106.5 million domestic. Actually, as we record this, yeah, $106.5 basically million dollars domestic. It's not really, it's opening. It did like a staggered rollout overseas. Mm. So like it hasn't opened in every market yet, but it's behind there. So it's, you know, $203 roughly million dollars worldwide. Now the budget was $95 million, as we've discussed. So it still does have some work to do before we can officially sit here and call this like a hit. But you know, so far, I mean, for a movie that I don't know that I necessarily had any type of expectations for it as far as what it would do either way. It's chugging along, so we'll see how it continues to hold up going forward.
I mean, it's a good sign. I mean, that, you know, you look at Detective Pikachu last year, which was successful, and then, you know, followed up with another good comic book movie, another video game movie. I mean, so the myth is broken.
Well, yeah, and as we knew, I mean, look, obviously it's not like people ever sat back and said, oh, this movie is based on a video game, but I'm not going to go see it.
Right.
No, it was just that, you know, for the most part, you know, some of these movies, the reviews haven't been great. The marketing, I think, was too dependent on the video game audience and not enough on, like, the broader audience. And you know, these are movies now that have been able to connect. You've been able to market them to a broader audience, you know, like a family audience or whatever. And you know, they've caught people's eyes. So, yeah, I mean, even the Rampage movie.
Yeah,
that with The Rock did pretty well. You know, it didn't light it up, but it did well by those standards. So, yeah. So there's definitely an audience for that.
Sure.
You know, Call of the Wild came in a surprising number. Not that it was a surprise that it was number two, but it's surprising that it almost won the weekend. It did almost $25 million, $24.8 million domestic.
It's like crazy.
Yeah.
It's Harrison Ford and a CGI dog.
Yeah, this movie wasn't even on my radar until someone that I work with, who I don't even usually talk about movies with.
Tell me they asked you, are you going to go see Call of the Wild?
No, yeah, so they were like, any movies coming out? And then they mentioned that, like, that Call of the Wild looks pretty cool. I've always liked that story. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, and I look it up and I'm like, oh my God, and Harrison Ford's in it. It's like, how did I miss that?
I mean, it was like attached to every trailer, every movie that I saw. The trailer,
really?
Oh, yeah, I saw it, and I'm like, oh boy.
Oh, but you—I guess you did see a few movies that I didn't.
I saw
see,
some
so.
kid movies. Yeah. That I would totally have been attached to.
Sure.
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, look, Harrison Ford has a now the budget on this though was up there because of the CGI. It was well over $100 million. So, So again. It's got some work to do, but speaking of Birds of Prey, which again, it's Harley Quinn Birds of Prey.
Yes.
Now, so we mentioned last week that the drop, and maybe because it was the holiday weekend, was not as steep as we may have feared. It was right. under 50%, which was I thought was good. But mm-hmm. now here is where it took its big drop.
Yeah.
60%. It's almost 60.5% drop this weekend. It's $6.8 million domestic. So now that movie is at it's at 72.3 million domestic. And it's at 173.4 million worldwide, and it's now at the point where it's dropping fast.
Yeah.
So,
it's interesting listening to people's reactions out there, who are kind of folks out there spinning a false narrative, like, no, this movie's a hit, it's great success for DC, and I'm like, is it though, really? I beg to differ. I'm sure that they were hoping. I mean, when you look at the, films like Joker, and we've talked about this a couple of episodes now, but, you look at Joker, you look at Aquaman, pulling in $1 billion, and this isn't even scratched 200 million.
Well,
it's third week out.
Yeah, and I mean, look, anyone who's trying to use that narrative clearly is going by the fact that they're clearly using... I would think you have to be using the original reported budgets, not the actual budget.
Yeah.
And you also have to be ignoring marketing costs and theater splits, right?
Right.
Because I don't see how else you spin it any other way. This movie, from the reports that I read, from the analysts and stuff, were saying that it would have to do at least $250 million worldwide just to break even.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get there.
No.
This movie does not have another $80 million in it worldwide. Right. So,
and it's pushing it. I mean, after the month of March,
basically
we're there. You start to scratch into oddly enough, the summer blockbuster season, which has crept closer and closer to the winter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's done.
Yeah. Well, and when you see a over 60% drop in the third weekend, that's never a good sign as far as the legs go, because, if this thing had done another less than 50% drop, then you'd be like, all right, so maybe it's stabilized a little bit. And while it's never going to be like a blockbuster, maybe at least it's got a shot to get to $100 million domestic, mm-hmm. A little over 100 million domestic, and then who knows, worldwide, whatever. But so maybe it can get to a respectable number.
Right.
But I don't know now that it's even going to get to 100 million worldwide. I mean, domestic rather. And could you imagine that in this day and age, we've mentioned this before, a major comic book movie release that got good reviews, that was seemingly has been well received, right, by mm-hmm. a lot of people. And that's really the part that kind of startles me a little bit, is, I had thought that Shazam might be the low end for this right. type of film. Again, that was a movie that also got really good reviews and better reviews, actually, and was very well received for the most part. Mm-hmm. Did about $350 million, which, this movie would have loved to have done. And I would think that's where you would hope to be, somewhere in that area with this film, 350, sure. 400-ish. Even with the $95 million budget, if you're in that ballpark, you did well. $400 right. million, you're most likely going to get a sequel and all of that stuff. That seems to be the magic number for movies that are around the $100 million or slightly under budget
mm-hmm.
range.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're talking about, getting to $200 million, which is a scary conversation to have, unfortunately. For a movie that's, it's a good, fun movie, that I do think will find its audience, but it's clearly not going to happen here in theaters now. And we'll see now how much this continues to drop as we go right. forward, because eventually... what's going to happen is now it's going to start losing. It already lost almost 700 theaters this week.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. And yeah, then,
it was 671 theaters lost this week in week three. That's going to go down again now, especially right. as it starts to make less and less money. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to continue adding screens. So that's also going to help to bring this number down. That's why you really need to start making your money in your first couple of weeks, because you start to lose theaters.
Well,
that's the other part of it. So
who'd have thought?
Yeah. I mean, on the other end of the spectrum, Bad Boys for Life continues to hold really well. It did another.
It's been like in the top five.
Yeah, it did another 5.8 million, and I mean it's 391 million worldwide. So it's, you know, it's going to get to that 400 million mark, over the 400 million mark. So, you know, that's a good deal for them. And then of course we had Brahms the Boy 2. Whatever.
Dude, it was like 11% on the tomato meter.
Did you almost say the tomato meter?
I almost said the tomato meter, yeah.
Tomato, whatever.
Potato, potato, whatever.
Yeah, and then Fantasy Island 4. So, yeah, I mean, not much else going on. I did happen to look, though, just for, you know, since it's a movie we've been talking about, Jumanji.
Yeah.
Is now over, you know, 300... almost 311 million domestic, and it's almost at 788 million worldwide. So it's tailing off now, obviously, but you know it's going to get to 790 million. It's most likely not going to get to the 800 million mark, which I think would have been fantastic, but still, you know, good job for that one.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it for now. I mean, we're really now going to get into a. You know,
it's gonna be really quiet.
Yeah, box office wise. So
there's really nothing on the horizon yet until Wonder Woman and Black Widow and
We'll probably give other than a couple little things here and there as movies maybe start to hit some milestones or don't hit milestones. We'll probably
sure.
be easing up on the.
And actually, in the next 2 weeks or so, I think. Rise of Skywalker will be hitting our digital libraries.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing that movie again.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I have yet to see it again. I didn't get to see it again in theaters. So I will see how it plays out in the comfort of my living room.
Yeah.
Which is always that test for me, for Star Wars, for whatever reason, how I watch it, how I react to the movie when I'm sitting at home watching it for the first time, usually plays a big role in.
That, I mean, dude, you know, it's funny, dude, that's everything. I was thinking about that today. I watched Casino Royale, mm-hmm. for example. And, dude, that movie is so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I was laughing as if I'd seen it, you know, for the first time. And I was, you know, I always get nervous and excited during certain parts. And I'm always like, you know, like vocally commenting about things that are happening in the film. It always has such a good reaction for me. And there are moments like that in The Last Jedi. And a lot of other Star Wars films where I'm like, you know, in the back part of your mind and your subconscious, you hope that whatever is happening kind of changes, but you know, it's not because it's a movie. And so I still have really good, you know, vibes from some of those films. And, you know, to your point, I mean, if I can watch it and still get, you know, sort of excited about what's on the screen in front of me in the comfort of my own home, then that's a, you know, it's a worthwhile purchase, and obviously it's going to, you know, win my heart over essentially films like, admittedly Aquaman, which I've given a pass. So I was not a big fan of it when I first saw it. But it is a film that like, I just haven't watched from point A to point B. I haven't watched it from like start to finish. I watch it sporadically and chop it up, you know what I'm saying? Like I'll watch it and I like turn it off. I'm like, man, all right, I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So it's in those moments where I'm like, this just didn't have the lasting power for me. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean just taking a look through the so technically it's not a March film, but next weekend or this coming weekend, The Invisible Man comes out. And you know, the reviews on that so far look like they're going to be surprisingly strong. I mean, it's very early in the process, but, you know, with like the initial like 30 or so reviews, it's like 90%, which again, that it's probably going to wind up being lower than that, but still like it doesn't look like it's going to be at, you know, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of surprised. So we'll see how that does. And then in March, we have really not much until you get towards the end of the month. March 20th is A Quiet Place Part 2.
So, wow, that's coming fast.
Yeah, so I'll have to see how that plays. And then the weekend after that, March 27th, is Mulan.
Mm.
So, and cool. Then, of course, the weekend after that is New Mutants, which I know you're already in line for.
Dude, I got my tickets, man.
Yeah. So
I made a T-shirt and everything, too.
Yeah. So, really, we start to pick up steam because then you have April 10th, No Time to Die. And then we start getting into, like... Yeah, stuff starts to come out at that. But, you know, it's funny, No Time to Die has a really... Man, that movie's got a shock, because there's, for a couple weeks after that, I mean, there's not much.
There's literally nothing, right?
I mean, yeah, it really, until Black Widow, which comes out like 3 weeks later.
Mm. So, which would likely be vying for the same audience to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, after three, you know.
Yeah, that's cool with me, man. Give Daniel Craig's last outing as James Bond the longest runway you can.
Yeah.
Because I'll be there. I'm going to check that out.
Absolutely.
That'll probably be, if I don't go take my daughter to see Mulan, No Time to Die will likely be the next time I'm in the theater.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Mulan plays for, like, little girl, like, little kids, like, around
Well, there's
age.
No songs.
Right.
And there's no, like, fantasy creatures.
Right.
Like, Mushu.
And the themes are a little, kind of heavy.
Yeah, so I may not take my daughter.
Yeah.
is it PG-13?
I haven't even...
They may not even
really
pay
attention. Let's see. Mulan rating.
Yeah. I'm guessing it would probably skew to PG-13.
Yeah, it's interesting to PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first live action remake for Disney to receive a PG-13 rating.
How about that?
Yeah.
Look what we just stumbled onto.
Due to the film sequences of violence, which have been teased with battle scenes, hand-to-hand combat, and sword fights in all of the trailers for the film.
People dying.
Yeah.
Legit dying by sword, hand-to-hand combat, arms chopped off. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. So, and not that necessarily matters. I mean, clearly it's not marketed towards, you know,
this is the teenage
daughter's
movie.
Age, but this is for like teens and even adults. I think at least based on the trailers, it could have that kind of a broad appeal. I mean, it's a movie that I actually watched that trailer and I'm like, you know what? I might go see that.
Yeah.
And I'm okay seeing it because it's obviously going to be marketed towards a broader audience than your typical like Disney.
I'm so interested to see how it performs in Asia.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
yeah,
we'll see.
Because like movies, what was that movie with Matt Damon? It was like The Great Wall.
That
was it. I don't think it didn't do very well here, if I remember correctly. But it, like, killed overseas because I guess Matt Damon is like a huge international, like, you know, star. He gets more, he's getting more love, so kind of doing that mix.
It actually, it grossed $45.5 million in the US and Canada.
Yeah.
And then $289.4 million everywhere else, including $170.9 million in China, which apparently was considered a disappointment.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's a movie that had a budget of $150 million.
Yeah, there it is.
And it made less than $300 million.
It made peanuts.
Yeah.
It's always funny when they do that. They end up mixing, you know, some big-time star with, like, and you know they're playing to a completely different audience. It was like that Keanu Reeves one. I forgot the – it was like the Ronin, 47 yeah. Ronin maybe. Is that something like that?
Right.
I don't get those films.
47. Yeah, I mean, it's... that Great Wall movie never appealed to me. Like, I never... Nothing I saw on that was like, oh, this is a movie I have to see.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the reviews weren't good. I didn't even remember. Like, I'm looking back on it now, reading more than I ever thought I would on that movie. And it's...
you're like, damn, Aaron, deep
yeah,
cut.
Like, the reviews weren't even good on it. Like, I didn't even remember that. But, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. So, I'll close that out. And let's... I don't know what you want to get into first. I mean, do you want to... There's so much other things. I mean, we got Star Wars, Clone Wars is back, and you got the Bob Iger stuff, and we got the
Batman
stuff.
We were talking about Disney.
Yeah.
So let's segue into Bob Iger
news.
So announced today, I mean, on a day where we were like, what are we going to talk about? Bob Iger apparently stepping down as CEO of Disney.
Yeah.
Which is huge news, considering his contributions to the organization. In the I can't even tell you how many years, maybe 12 or 15 years he's been CEO. I mean, this is the guy that has been the centerpiece of reinvigorating the theme parks. He is the person that executed the purchases of Marvel and of Lucasfilm. He is the person responsible for launching Disney Plus, which obviously has been killing it. And redefining, you know, television at large and our ability to kind of stream content. So when I saw this news, I mean, we were talking a little before we hit the record button on this, but, you know, we were, well, what's the story, you know, between the lines here? And I'm like, sexual misconduct. Like,
oh, that's where you went? Really?
Oh, dude, I was like.
No, because they announced.
Scandal coming in. No. A little bit more.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's still going to serve.
Yeah, as executive chairman, he's going to be there till his contract expires in 2021. You know, I think to me, this is just really a matter of supposedly this like succession plan was, you know, put in place like years ago. And this was always going to be the plan. And I guess at this point, you know, you get to a point where you're like, maybe it was just time for him to. Kind of
well, he's been on longer than I think expected. I think,
I mean, he was a TV guy,
right?
I mean, he came over because he was like president of ABC Networks when Disney bought it, and that's how he got into the Disney mix. But I mean, yeah, that's a long time, you know, to be,
Chris.
You know, he's going now 20 years, I think, with Disney, and he was with ABC, I mean, since before I was born and before both of us were born. And you know, I mean, he's been the CEO of Disney for 15 years. I mean, that's a long time. And obviously he doesn't need the money.
No.
You know, and he's got, you know, Disney Plus was a massive, you know, undertaking, and he spearheaded that, and now it's a thing and it's doing well. So I guess now you figure now is the time to transition. You know, let the new person be in charge of overseeing the future of all of this.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, a lot of, you know, his restructuring internally in terms of leadership, right? So positioning Feige and all of that. I mean, I think he was setting the table.
Yeah.
You know, well before this announcement. So there's a lot of stuff already in the works. Do I think there's going to be a massive impact, an immediate impact to Disney and what it does? No, because I think a lot of it will still have its fingerprints on it.
Yep.
Let's see what happens in 5 years.
Well, sure. And I mean, obviously his name is Bob Chapek.
Yeah.
Chapek, who was running the Disney parks basically.
Right.
So it's interesting that that's the direction they went in rather than somebody from like the TV side or the movie side. They went with the park side.
That's awesome to me.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is, and I said it before a couple of episodes back, actually, when Disney Plus launched, but there was a documentary called Imagineering, and they talk about the ebbs and flows of, you know, the Disney theme parks, specifically on the Imagineering side of things and some of the influences that they've had. And, I'll tell you, there's some really, really cool shit coming. I've seen some test footage of their Marvel theme park. So I'm interested to see how this changes, you know, how, if, you know, they go back to kind of bringing some of the stuff to life through the theme parks and if there's going to continue to be a focus on that front. But obviously, I think, like I said before, Iger has set up, you know, his chiefs in the TV yes. division, movie division, so I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I believe, you know, and sometimes you don't always believe this stuff, but I believe the story that says that this was a succession plan that was in the works for years, because it seems like he was already starting to put things in place, like you said. So that leads you to believe that, you know, this wasn't just one of these things.
Right.
You know, they were just, like, decided on.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I first went, because, like, the headlines, like, Bob Iger steps down as CEO. I mean, before I even read the story, I was like, sexual misconduct. Oh, my God, this guy has some sort of lawsuit coming. and then I read the story, and I was like, oh, okay, it's fine.
Right,
it's
and also when you know that the new CEO is, it was, like, a long-time lieutenant, right, of yep. Bob Iger. So clearly, if it was an issue with Bob Iger, they're not going to approve his successor being sure. like his right-hand person, basically. So, yeah, it all adds up to this is not nothing controversial about this, but it is still a major story because it's a major change yeah. to a company that is dominating, you know, the film and television industry.
Everything.
And everything, right, at this point.
Literally
so,
everything.
Yeah.
It's great. And you know what the funny thing was? So I remember reading this. This is just one of those stupid bits of information that you can use for a trivia night. But I remember reading something about after their earnings this past month or so. And they were talking about branding. And apparently how they measure the success of a brand, this should make total sense, is in the merchandise, right? Like how things are selling. And apparently merchandise for Mickey and Minnie, which are the sort of staple symbols of, you know, everything that Disney represents, you know,
yep.
are way down because kids are not gravitating more towards like those inanimate, like, you know, animal characters anymore.
Right.
The obviously, they've stuff. Got the princesses yeah. and they've got the other like Star Wars characters and Marvel and whatever.
Yeah.
So Mickey Mouse is. He's on his way out, which they said could be was like potentially problematic for the brand because it's something that transcends brand recognition from beyond the States, right? And it's something that people
yeah.
internationally can resonate with. But I just don't think that that's no. the way the brand wants to focus its energy.
Yeah. Right?
When was the last time we saw a Disney film with just Mickey Mouse?
No, I mean, that Disney has evolved. I mean, when you used to think of Disney, sure. that's what you thought of. Right, Mickey, right, Minnie, right. and Donald. But now, when you think of Disney, you think of the properties that they own.
That's right.
And that's what I was looking. You know, just look at the accomplishments that Bob Iger, you know, what he brought to Disney since 2005 when he took over as CEO. He was the COO for 5 years before that. But mm-hmm. He spearheaded the acquisitions of Pixar, Lucasfilm, and Marvel Entertainment.
Yeah.
He also pulled off the purchase of National Geographic Channels, FX, and Fox Movie and Television Studios. Mm-hmm. He also struck the deal that gave them the majority ownership in Hulu. And then mm-hmm. a few months later, he bought out Comcast's stake in Hulu, giving them an even bigger chunk of that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, launching Disney Plus. So, I mean, his legacy is all about acquisition. Right.
Yep.
And establishing new brands that fall under the Disney umbrella. So, you know, to an entire generation now, Disney is not about, even in a lot of ways, their classic characters. It's about mm-hmm. their acquisitions. It's about the brands that fall under their umbrella.
Yeah.
And that's why when you turn on Disney Plus, you see Star Wars, you see Marvel, like they have their own sections.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing now.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about cementing a brand for many, many years to come. I mean, that was the way to do it.
Sure.
So,
and it adds some demographic diversity to your product mm-hmm. because, you know, the Star Wars audience and the Marvel audience and the classic Disney audiences are, yeah, there's crossover there, but there's also areas where they don't necessarily cross over, but you get to keep, you know. You get to your little kids to your adults. It's now just one big entity. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to do it. So, and mm-hmm. we'll see how mm-hmm. it continues to evolve with the Fox stuff and all that going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So speaking of Star Wars, Clone Wars is back for a final season.
Back boy as it ever.
Yeah.
That's a dope ass episode. First episode of season 7. Last and final episode. And it was really good. It was a clone focused adventure. Very, very limited and minimal presence from Jedi or Anakin Skywalker or any of those folks. But I just love how they continue to iterate on, you know, the identities of the clone troopers. I think it's so good. And it was sharp. It was a great story. It's short. It was like a 24-minute episode. And it picked up, I mean, I think it's, what, been 7 years?
Yeah.
Or so since it's gone off?
Yeah.
It felt like it just picked up right where it left off, and it was great.
And
it was
interesting great. That they would choose. Now, I would assume that a lot of the people watching would have watched the previous seasons, but it is interesting that you would go with a first episode after all this time that barely includes, you know, your main characters, so to speak. It's kind of a bold, sure, creative decision. And a good sign, too, because it's confidence, right? It shows confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, while everyone is certainly interested in, you know, Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ahsoka Tano, I mean, we kind of know how those stories are. And then we got some Ahsoka in Rebels, and we know what happens to Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I was cool with it. I thought it was good. And it was a lot of fun. It was a fun episode to watch. So I'm looking forward. And it's episodic.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Excited. Star Wars is, you know.
It just kind of snuck up, too. Because, like, I saw a commercial for it, like, during the week. And I was like, oh, wait, that's this weekend?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's just kind of happened. Because here we were talking about how, like, now that The Mandalorian is up, like, not much is happening on Disney Plus, and you know, be honest with you, I haven't really tuned in to Disney Plus much since
every day.
You have a
every day
reason for it, but
I've watched Toy Story 4 more times than I can count.
Have you?
It's a great movie, actually. Oh, it's really good.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, actually, I didn't even really. I got to fire that up.
It's probably really good
this weekend. Yeah.
Monsters University. Never saw that when it was out, but so I've watched that a lot too.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah,
it's not great.
So yeah I just like to watch I go back and pick my favorite Marvel films and Star Wars films, obviously.
So what I just have such a hard time, I don't know why, rewatching a lot of Marvel films. There's some that I'll watch, like I still love watching Iron Man. That still works for me.
Yep.
For some reason, the first Iron Man. And there's others. I mean, you know, like I'll tune into like the first Avengers and you know, even like Captain America, first Avenger and Winter Soldier and stuff like that. But like, mm-hmm. What are some of the ones you throw on?
I mean, dude, Winter Soldier is the one I will watch.
Yeah.
Over and over again. And I mean, that's the one that like I always end up gravitating back towards. Mm-hmm. I was watching Infinity War a lot, but that's not on. I don't think it's on Disney Plus.
No, it's on. I think it's on Netflix still because they have that contract. Yeah. Yeah.
That was one I watched a couple of times, but I kind of jump around a little bit.
It's just very dense. Like, there's just a lot to.
It's dense. Yeah. It's a dense. It's a dense movie. Let me think. I've probably watched Black Panther quite a lot.
Yeah, that I've seen a few bunch of times.
Yeah. And Ragnarok. And actually there's a guy who does these YouTube videos called Screen Crush. His name is Ryan Airy. He does these really, really great breakdowns of some, you know, movies and films, and, you know, kind of goes through Easter eggs, and he did this really in-depth piece on Thor Ragnarok and some of the social commentary that's been infused in that film that really goes over a lot of people's heads, and a lot of cases that went over my head.
Yeah.
And it frankly blew me away.
Mm.
And because it's about the way that Taika Waititi structures his films.
Right.
And some of his passions and how he used that film to kind of tell really high level stories about social injustice and things like that.
Sure.
And yeah, dude, I would totally recommend anyone watch that. Screen Crush, watch the Thor Ragnarok. The guy did it like 2 weeks ago. It's good. It's a really, really thoughtful piece on how that film is structured. It's great.
Cool.
So, yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
So we talked Clone Wars, talk Bob Iger. Let's talk about the elephant in the room,
which is
the Batman.
Oh, the Batman. There you go.
Yeah.
So,
oh God. I'll be honest with you. I struggled even bringing this up on the episode. So it's kind of hard not to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I also do not agree with it's interesting. As time has gone on and I've become more invested in the access that we all have as lovers of film and specifically the filmmaking process, the more against it I've become. Okay. Because it does spoil, it does ruin the end, you know, the end all experience, the ultimate experience of sitting there in the theater and kind of being surprised and enjoying yourself, because now you know how things work, and so the magic is kind of gone. And so late last week, for those that were living under a rock, that obviously the Batman is filming. It's filming Glasgow, Scotland, and a shitstorm of leaked images came out, giving us probably more images than we need of the bat suit on a stunt person, not on Robert Pattinson. And like, the world exploded. And the thing is, it wasn't like a, you know, a spy site, like a Just Jared or something like that that was capturing. I mean, Variety did a full spread on this thing.
Yeah.
And people were posting pictures. It was hard. It was so hard to like not look at these things.
Yeah.
I fell into the rabbit hole, Chris. I don't know about you.
I have avoided all of this. I haven't really been on Twitter much, but unfortunately now, so Google has this really awful feature now where they incorporate like news into like their browser. Right. So like my phone, when I open up my web browser, it defaults to Google. And why I always did that, because like years ago, like Yahoo started to incorporate news their browser, into their search engine. And it was like I would try to avoid things like if there was a big like UFC fight the night before and I wasn't going to be able to watch it till the next morning or whatever. Like I wouldn't want to open my browser and see like the results like right away. Right. So Google now has started to do that as well, kind of. It's not like timely news necessarily like what Yahoo had, but it's based on your like search preferences and like things you look up like on Twitter and stuff like that. And it'll start to give you like articles like about things you've been searching for or reading about and stuff like that. So unfortunately, that's how I saw this. All of a sudden, I saw this article pop up with the picture right there on the main Google page with of the suit. And I was like, well, all right, might as well read this now. Already saw it. But, you know, ultimately it was going to be hard to avoid anyway. But, you know, here's my take on this. I get why people don't want this stuff out there. Mm-hmm. But it's 2020 now. And at what point, whose fault is it now? Is it the fault of the people that, you know, leak this stuff, or is it the fault of the studios now who have to know this is going to happen? Like, there is probably no reason why we shouldn't have already gotten some official images of this stuff. knowing this. And yeah, we got that cool teaser, you know, that we talked about last week, which was cool, the video with the song and stuff like that, but it's not ultimately what everybody wanted. You know, they want to see the pictures. So why not just start throwing this stuff out there when you can? Right. Like, knowing that this is going to happen, because, yeah, I mean, look, people now, whether it's good or bad, and there's, you could look at it either way, and maybe even, I, you know, think in a lot of cases it's more bad than good, but whatever. People thirst for information now. We can't go 5 seconds without getting some new bit of news or information. And, you know, that's why Variety is starting to cover this stuff. That's why you're seeing these leaked images and things like that, as opposed to, like you said, the old school, like, spy sites and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Because it's become an industry now. You know, and everyone's going to try to jump on board with it. And, you know, with these news cycles being the way they are, where they just never stop, like, yeah, we have to start adjusting to this is what life is like now in this medium. And maybe now these studios need to start getting ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, does it suck? Sure. Does it suck that it's becoming harder and harder to avoid? If you really do want to avoid it, absolutely. But you know what? Does it also suck that we're put in this position because, you know, the studios still haven't adjusted, or the filmmakers haven't adjusted yet to the fact that, you know, maybe just you should be giving us this stuff yourself, or else people wouldn't be hunting it down.
Right.
You know, and they hunt it down because they're really interested in it, not because they're trying to be jerks or they're trying to be spoilers, because there is a lot of people that want to know what the new Batsuit's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't, then you wouldn't have, you know, Variety paying probably money for these pictures or whatever, or whoever doing it, you know? So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of different ways to look at it. You know, unfortunately, I thought it was going to be a lot easier to avoid. I just figured if I just stay off social media, then it will, I'll be able to avoid it, but clearly
no longer
that's the case now. Thanks, Google.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even if you're asking for it anymore, it's just there. To your point, right? Because you weren't looking for it, and it just smacked you in the face.
Exactly. I was actually not looking to avoid it purposely, yeah. And then it was like, oh, there you go. It's kind of like the old days, like I said, when I used to have Yahoo as my default, like when I opened my web browser, it's like on my computer, and as soon as I turn it on, I'd be like, oh, well, there goes the results of that fight that I wanted to see. Might as well give up on that now. You know, it's like, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we said it last week that we kind of had a suspicion that obviously filming was well underway, and that they were kind of getting ahead of those spy leaks by giving us that little snippet. But damn, man, it came out so fast and furious. And I mean, so you saw it, and I saw it. What'd you think?
You know, I really don't want to get too invested in it, because clearly what we were looking at was, I mean, there was no cape,
stunt man, right? Yeah, there's no cape. It's stunt man. It's going to be adjusted.
Stunt man. So it kind of looks a little awkward, like, you know. And I mean, just let's just put it this way. Well, I'll talk about what I feel like is not going to change, right, when we see the final images or whatnot, which is the concept of the suit.
Right.
So the little things like the cape, or not even little, the cape and the fact that how the mascots and all that stuff, like, I'm not as concerned about that, because that's whatever. But the concept of the suit, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's exactly what I was hoping it would be and what I thought it would be. I thought it would be a little bit more comic accurate. I thought it was going to be a little bit more of like a hybrid of, and maybe it is to a point, but a hybrid of like the Snyder suits, which were more comic accurate, meets something a little bit more practical.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it looked way more, and it's different looking in its concept, but it's still very much to me in that like Nolan-esque style of like, it feels like there's going to have to be like a reason for why this suit exists. And you know how that's not one of my favorite things, right? You know that I wish that we would have to stop explaining in these comic book superhero movies why we need a reason for these things to exist. But again, you know, if they're going to go for that like super grounded approach, then I guess you kind of have to do that.
Right.
There's just a lot of things on this suit. So that threw me a little bit. But I'm not going to go crazy over it because, again, you know, we haven't seen it with the cape. We haven't seen it on the actor. We haven't, you know, we don't even know what version of this suit it is what we're looking at. You know, it's like when those Spider-Man Far From Home
pajama suit.
Yeah, stuff leaked out and people were like, oh, is that the symbiote suit? Is that the this and that? And it's like, you know, people out of context, you're not really sure what you're looking at.
Right.
So I can't really get too crazy about it. But if you're asking me, like, that thing that I saw in that picture, you know, what was my thought on the concept of it? It was not exactly what I was hoping that it would be, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to love it anyway for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it screams Batman to you, obviously.
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, there's a cowl with ears and it's got the symbol, you know? So yeah, I mean, if I looked at that, I'd be like, okay, that's a Batman suit. Sure. Minus the cape, obviously. I actually saw somebody, I don't even remember who this was talking about how they wrote this article about how they were kind of disappointed in the suit for the same reasons that I'm saying now. So we were on the same page, which is why I read it. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And their thing was like, they would love if there was a bat suit that was in the style of like what Marvel did with like the Captain America suits. Like the, not the first one, but since, because it's like, there's a practicality to it, but it's not as like loaded up with pads and things and armors and whatnot. So like you could make it like impenetrable and stuff like that, but without it, with it still kind of looking like a comic book outfit. And we've yet to really see something like that on screen. So that's kind of what they were hoping this would be. And I guess in deep down, that's what I was sort of hoping.
I mean, it kind of is though, in a way. I mean, you look at the shoulder pads and with the exception of the chest piece, which looks heavily armored, it looks fairly tactical, which I guess is the critique, right? It's kind of too
right because we're told that this is
practical.
Yeah, we're hoping that this was going to be like a detective kind of noir story, and it still certainly could be, but that suit seems very like tactical for what they're going for. But if you're going to make it grounded, like in a real world, as much as it. You know, you could have a guy who dresses up as a bat and fights crime at night, you know, in a real world, like you would need all of that. Right. But, you know, I mean, yeah. How much reality do we necessarily want to have in our superhero movies, comic book movies?
Yeah.
Especially one that involves a billionaire who gets to put a suit together, like you would assume. They could figure out a way to, but, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, we'll see. But let's see what it actually does ultimately turn out to be. Let's see, you know, how it looks with a cape and on the right, on the actual actor. And
I think it
still could look cool. Like, I just don't, it's just because it's not what I was hoping it would be. So that's that initial reaction.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to like it. Like, I'm not going to love it anyway, because it's you know, it's still ultimately going to be about the film and how that suit looks in the movie.
Right.
So, you know, it's two different reactions. There's always going to be your initial reaction, which is going to be knee-jerk based on what your expectations were. And then you're going to have the reaction based on what it is. And I think that those are two different reactions sometimes.
Yeah. For me, with anything related to Batman, post The Dark Knight, I just throw it up to the wind, man. I don't put much stock in it, because it's Batman, and he's not really a hard character to nail, so to speak. But the suit is certainly part of the character. And I learned a very, very valuable lesson, because I remember watching behind the scenes footage of Heath Ledger as the Joker, and he was like, in between takes, he was skateboarding. And I thought that they were incorporating this like punkish
right
vibe to the Joker, you know, with this chain, his wallet chain and all this other shit. And I was like, what the hell are they doing to the Joker? And none of that stuff. It was like in between takes. You
know? Yeah, well, I mean, and that's
blowing off steam.
Yeah, that's why I don't even like things like that. And that's like the same thing with the Spider-Man Far From Home stuff. Like, I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as like the look of a suit, but here's the thing though: Batman's my favorite character ever, right? So, but like, I love the Batman 89 suit.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't want to see that suit in the Nolan films. You know what I mean?
I watched that again.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I got it.
I wouldn't want to see that move, that suit work. That suit works for that film.
Right.
And that Never Gotham worked. City, that version of the character. You know, I don't love, and I know people like you, I know you're one of them, like love the Batman Begins suit. I don't. I don't like any of the Nolan suits, to be honest with you. Or I shouldn't say I don't love any of the Nolan suits. I feel like I just don't love any of them. I feel like they just look weird. Like the Begins one to me looks clunky, and I know they were supposed to be because it was kind of like his first suit or whatnot. He doesn't look like he ever like fits in it right. His head doesn't look like it fits in it properly in the cowl. And then it got too streamlined, I feel like.
Right.
But that's okay because those are great movies. And the suit works for what they were going for in the movies, in those movies. You know, I mean, yeah, you're going to have your Batman and Robin, like the Mr. Freeze wacky white, whatever the hell suits those were at the end.
The Arctic suits. Yeah,
those don't work on any level.
Freeze.
Yeah, they don't work on any level in any movie at all. Like, so those, that's just a bad suit. But like, for the most part, any of these bat suits, like, and then of course, the, you know, the Snyder one with Affleck, I mean, that was cool for what it was going for, and it fit for those films. I don't know, that would fit in Nolan's films. You know, and who knows what they're going for with this movie. So as far as I'm concerned, like, the suit isn't as big a deal to me. It's a fun talking point.
Right.
But, like, ultimately, when it comes to Batman, I want them to nail the character. I want them to nail the feel and the vibe. And I want them to nail Gotham City. And I want them to, like, that's the stuff that's important to me. I want the score to be cool. Like, the suit is what it is. I mean, unless, like I said, unless they're going with, like, you know, they decide to do the Joel Schumacher stuff, like, it's fine. Like, as long as the suit's kind of cool and it fits what they're going for, like, I've never felt like that's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, time will tell. I mean, I think that's either, you know, disservice that these kinds of images do is that it removes, because they're spy shots, it removes the elements of movie magic.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. But I mean, look, I know what I'm watching is a movie, right? I know that it was filmed. I mean, I could still tune out once the lights go down in that theater. Like, I'm not going to watch it. But I mean,
like, there's certain, you know, like, post work that gets done to make things look a little sharper. You know what I'm saying?
Fine.
Like,
I mean, that doesn't. Yeah, I that won't ruin anything for me like that. If anything, it'll be enhanced.
Because
sometimes when you get to see it without all that, then you actually see, it's like, oh, now I'm kind of seeing it for the first time again, because it's so hard these days to see anything for the first time, you know, when the movie itself comes out. So yeah
there's a lot of detail in the suit,
yes, which is cool.
People breaking it down, kind of saying, you know, his gauntlets look like gauntlets used by a character called Talon, who's from the Court of Owls, which I thought was a nice touch. Some cool stuff there. And, you know, he has like a holster, which is something that people are speculating is for the grappling gun and all that stuff. So I'm just like, holy cow, talk about, you know, analyzing every final detail.
Yeah, that's hardcore. That I don't have time for, but it would be cool if the Court of Owls existed in this.
Yeah, well.
I love that storyline.
We will see.
Yeah.
We will see.
So, what else we'll see is, I guess, two part threes now, kind of, that we know are coming out. They announced, we'll do this one quick because it's not much to it. Creed 3 has a screenwriter now.
Sure. Actually, we'll talk about three part threes.
Oh, okay.
So I'll surprise you with the third.
Sure. So Creed 3, Zach Balin, who has written the upcoming Will Smith movie, King Richard, which I know you'll be anxiously anticipating.
Actually, that sounds pretty interesting.
I know you're just kind of Will Smith out right now.
Yeah, I'm a Will Smith out, but it's the story about Venus and Serena Williams' father.
Yeah.
So
that's who's going to be, at least for now, writing Creed right. 3.
Hopefully Rocky dies at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Creed 2 did a really good job of taking material from like Rocky 4, right, which was a very cartoony film.
Yep.
And making it not as cartoony, right? Making it grounded and making it relevant, right, for today. I thought that was one of the best things that that movie did. So hopefully they still resist the urge to get, because as you start to get now into part three, like it's like I just don't want it to get, like, no pun intended, too over the top, you know, where it starts to become like a complete like cartoon after a while.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think I'm happy that we're gonna get another Creed film, right? There, those two films are well made. I thought the second one tied everything up nicely.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think we need one. That doesn't mean I'm not going to pay to see it.
Sure.
So yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how far, you know, how deep the story goes and whatever. It's very early stages, but yeah, bring it on. And then apparently, you know, Sylvester Stallone has talked about doing another Rocky film, which at this point I'm like, please stop.
Yeah, that one. Oh man.
Please.
Yeah. I'm not like, sure why dude, we would have to.
You could barely
go down.
Blink in Creed 2.
I mean, why would we have to go down that road when, like, Creed has already worked as a successor? That, like, where do you go with, from, like, with the Rocky character? Like, that was such a great. I thought Creed 2 is a great send off for the character, which obviously it's not. Well, we don't think it is. But yeah, like, where else would you go with Rocky, like, in his own film? Like, Creed, it was the natural progression to that.
Right.
So I just, it's weird that they, but yeah, listen, money. Well, although, look, I mean, like, that last Rambo movie tanked.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe we start to learn some lessons from that. I know it's easier said than done. Which it's not our properties, but still.
Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you guys need to hang it up.
Or at least, you don't have to hang it up, but. Do things that make sense, like the Creed movies,
right?
Make sense. Focus more on, you know, like in Stallone's case, he could direct and write and stuff like that too. Mm-hmm. You know, doesn't have to be front and center, but
right.
Yeah. So the other one that I know of anyway is Jurassic World Dominion, right?
Yeah.
Which is now the title for the third film in this new Jurassic World trilogy, whatever. But the sixth
how do we
film,
say this?
Yeah, the sixth film in the Jurassic Park franchise.
Trilogy.
Yeah. And they're going to be bringing back the original cast members, or many of them anyway. So this is going to become like a giant Jurassic Park World event film, which is kind of cool. I know Chris Pratt had mentioned something like it's going to be like the Infinity War of the Jurassic Park World franchise. Why not? I mean, look, this is actually probably a good time to do this because it's the third film or the sixth film, depending on how you look at it. You know, this is the type of franchise where it's like you can only do so much with it before it starts to get old and repetitive. So why not throw out the gimmick now of having everybody in it, like as a cool, oh, maybe this is the wrap up of it. I don't know, but it's a cool idea, I think.
Right. And it's freaking Jeff Goldblum
of course,
coming back.
Sure. That's never bad.
Everybody loves him.
Yeah. I mean, look, Jurassic World made $1.67 billion.
You saw those movies, right?
Yeah. Jurassic World was fine.
Yeah, Jurassic World is like, it's the Force Awakens of Jurassic Park.
Okay.
It's got familiar beats.
Sure.
Very, very familiar beats. Second one, was it Lost Kingdom?
Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom?
Yeah.
Yo, dude. I couldn't have shit something more beautiful than that. It's just a pile of poop.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
So bad.
I don't. Yeah, I didn't. I don't know that I hate. I just was kind of like
genetic
whatever.
Girl yeah. versus a genetically modified dinosaur. What?
Yeah.
What?
But our opinions don't really matter on this because 1.7
made a shit ton of money.
Almost $1.7 billion, including $652 million domestic for Jurassic World. And of course, over $1 billion international. And then Fallen Kingdom only dropped to $1.3 billion worldwide. Wow. You know, $418 million almost domestic, $891 million overseas, $1.3 billion. So, yeah, I mean, that's not a huge drop for, you know, a movie like that that did an insane amount of money. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Jurassic World to do that kind of, those kind of numbers. No. You know, but...
No, trust me, I was on the other side of that film working on a product placement and for a former client of mine. And the guy who was leading marketing was like, man, this is going to be a huge hit. It's going to reinvigorate the franchise. And I remember everyone in the room going like, dude, what? What are you talking about? Like, this is the biggest waste of money that this brand could have ever put into a film for a product placement?
Incorrect.
Holy shit, were we wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, I was sitting in a room of like 20 plus people, and everyone's like, this one dude is going on about this Jurassic World and this new director, this new guy, Colin Trevorrow. He's going to do a great job. Oh, I was like, man, you know, I was on set. And I'm like, this movie's going to suck. Steven Spielberg is like not really involved in any of it. Well, he is, but he's not. They're going to bring anyone back from the original cast? No. It's okay. Boy.
Yep.
I was eating my socks.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. So does that mean though will you be there for Dominion?
No. Genetically modified girl.
That did it for you?
Yeah, it did it for me. I didn't see that in the theaters. I saw it on a plane.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
Thank God I didn't waste.
I've only seen the first Jurassic Park in theaters. I've seen everyone else like on TV.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I've probably seen more. I saw Jurassic World with Jess. We liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
It was fine. Okay, cool. Last three-peat in this one is Bill and Ted's The Music Must Play.
Ah, yes.
Dude, I am over the moon for this one.
You are, huh?
I don't know why. I mean, Bill and Ted is such an important... plays such an important part in my childhood, my growing up. I loved those movies. So it's, you know, it's just things come in full circle, and I love two idiots being two idiots. And to see where these guys ended up in their lives. So
it's gonna be interesting to see because I mean we haven't seen much of Alex Winter, right?
No.
Since. But we've seen plenty of Keanu Reeves.
It's Keanu. I think that's Keanu's busy.
And he's also very much not, like, he's gotten very far away from that persona.
Sure.
Like, he's done these intense roles now, you know? Yeah. And, like, it's going to be.
Really, though? I mean, I don't think that's the first demon, actually. Because he's always Keanu. You know what I'm saying? But
I'm going to be looking at, like, you know, John Wick and all this stuff and you know, like, the Matrix stuff and all that. And it's just like, I'm not saying he's not going to be able to pull it off, but it's like, that's what he's become to me now. So it is going to be interesting to see him now. We don't know how they're going to, what the takes are going to be like on those characters right now. So maybe, you know, that's going to play a role in...
And they look very, very familiar.
Yeah, it's going to play a role into what they're like, how they handle it now. But it's going to be interesting to see, like, him going back to... He is still Keanu, but he's kind of mellow. And, like, even when you see him, like, in interviews right now, he's kind of like this mellow, sort of, like,
Yeah, sort of. Dude. I mean, I don't know if you saw his Hollywood star speech.
No.
Yeah, watch that.
Okay.
And then tell me if Keanu is not Keanu anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch that for a bit. You know, I think he's in this interesting, like, renaissance of his career again, man. It's
well, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he's having fun with it, and he's able yep. to do, you know, the Wick films. He's able to kind of, like, I don't know if you've ever seen this Netflix movie, which is actually quite funny. It's called Always Be My Maybe.
No.
Dude, he pops up in that film as Keanu Reeves. It's next level shit hilarious, man. It's so funny.
Okay.
Because he's being Keanu Reeves. I mean, he's being himself. Like, right. That's, you know, yeah. like the kind of like over the top, like dumb-ish kind of guy. He's popping up in the new SpongeBob SquarePants movie as a wise sage. A ball of sage being a sage. And it's literally his head in a in like a tumbleweed of sage. That's fantastic. And it looks like Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you got this, which I think is awesome. You know, coming back to Bill and Ted. And then he's in the middle right now filming The Matrix 4.
Yeah.
In San Francisco. So I just give me more Keanu. Keanu's.
They're all about the Keanu.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like when somebody kind of has this, you know, this, the longevity of their career like this. And I think everyone has their perception of who they thought he was, you know, as an actor and all that stuff. And he now is a bit more open about some of the things he's been doing and the way he lives his life. And, you know, it's always been about, oh, like Keanu's like the nicest guy in the world. Like he does hover hand when he's taking pictures with, you know, fans that are women. And, you know, he's offering his seat to people on the subway. And you're like, I really want to like you, man. Like, you seem really cool. So I was doing some research and I was like, oh man, the dude actually runs his own motorcycle company, which is pretty dope. And they build motorcycles because that's like a passion of his. And so, you know, I'm like, it's like The Rock. It's like the same thing. You know, you're like, oh, I like what you know, I like who you are. I like what you stand for. Like I'll try your tequila, man. I don't know where I was going with this. All I'm saying is,
you want to marry Keanu Reeves. We get it.
Keanu Reeves is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, cool.
Bill and Ted.
Yeah. When does that come out?
Oh, I don't. I'm going to have to do some research. Going to look. I'm not exactly sure.
It's this year it comes out.
Is it really?
Yeah, it comes out August 21st.
So we know our trailer's coming soon.
Yeah.
But these guys are back in a telephone booth, man. It's dope.
Yeah.
Alex Winter kind of looks almost exactly the same.
Pretty much. Kind of, sort of. So this is the director that... Oh, really?
What?
Huh. No, I'm sorry. I'm just looking at... the director of this movie is the guy who directed Galaxy Quest, which is a favorite.
So you know this is going to be the bomb.
An all-time favorite of mine. He also directed Red 2, Fun with Dick and Jane, a bunch of other movies.
Home Fries? Anyone?
Yeah. So, okay. That works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So August 21st, there you go. You'll be right there opening weekend.
Yes, sir. And Steven Soderbergh is...
a producer, which is interesting.
It's like sure. It's the weirdest group of people.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes sense, right?
Because pulling this film in.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool.
All righty.
Is that it?
That's
it. We hit all of our topics for this episode. Let's do some plugs.
Yeah.
Close it up.
Go to thefanboygarage.com. You can check out our episodes. You can go to our merch store. Buy yourself an I'm Cool I Podcast t-shirt or mug or pillow or whatever. And, of course, you can join the conversation on all the social medias, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, at the Fanboy Garage. You can find me on Twitter at RealCLMighty.
And you can find me on Twitter at AARonSpeaks. That is A_A_RonSpeaks. And as always, if you do like what you're hearing, you dig us, you think we're funny, you like some of our previous episodes, do leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way to support the show. Or a 5-star review on anything else that you're listening to us on, Spotify, Podbean, whatever it is. Just show some love. We'd appreciate it. And until then, folks, we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.